This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is Eli Manning, and the Michael K. Show starts now on 98.7 ESPN.
And a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show.
Sure.
We thank you for joining us on this Tuesday. It's January 17th. It's 2023. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you are on till 7 o'clock. We've got a lot of stuff to do. Don was poised and ready to be on yesterday, but the Knicks went into overtime, and you
was
never
right there.
Got on. You
all
never got
prepared.
On.
I had, I think, a Marconi winning monologue.
Right.
It was going to be emotional.
Uh-huh.
And it just never happened. At one point, it was a one-point game. I'm thinking, all right, we won't go to overtime now. But then a couple of missed foul shots.
Then the dunk by Barrett.
That was something.
That really was
pretty cool. And then just the meltdown in overtime. Typical Knicks, right?
So now you save it for you. You save it for now.
We
you
really
save it for the
belong.
Full show.
But I really would have loved to be able to do it yesterday.
To bask, if you will.
But this, I can't say that it went against what I thought. I had picked the Giants. It was my two-point play. I really felt good about the Giants because I've been saying it all year. I didn't think the Vikings were a 13-win team.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think the Vikings played poorly. I think the Vikings are what the Vikings are. They're not a very good defensive team. They're an outstanding offensive team. And the Giants took every offensive punch the Vikings threw at them, and they answered. Well, if you take away the two kneel downs, what was it, seven possessions, and the Giants scored on five of them?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was just an outstanding performance from the two guys that have carried this team all year, Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley.
And it was more Daniel Jones because Barkley, we thought Barkley had to get the ball 30 times for them to win. I think he got the ball 14 times. This was the Daniel Jones.
But he was very good
performance.
With this.
He was very, very good, and he got the big gains, but they didn't use him constantly because they know the Vikings are not good against the pass. And Daniel Jones got over 300 yards. He ran for over 70 yards, two touchdowns. He played a really, really good game. And now, because of that performance and the fact that they're going to play the Eagles, well, now Mike Tannenbaum has gone on every single ESPN show and said if he was Daniel Jones' agent, that he would be asking for $50 million a year.
You could ask for it. I don't think he's going to get 50.
I'd like my agent to do the same thing.
But it's beginning to spin where the Giants can't let him go. We'll see what happens. He throws six interceptions against Philadelphia. Maybe the attitude would be a little bit different next Monday when we're on the air. But right now, I know the Giants don't have to play the PR game. They sell out every game. They're a hugely popular team. But do you want to take the hit from this fan base if you let him go? And you could franchise him to buy yourself another year if you want to. But you do run the risk of possibly something gobbling him up and taking two first-round picks and all that and being forced to maybe give him more than you want to give him. But can you really afford to let him go? And I think the way he played, Michael, that's no joke. That's not a lot of this year it was like, all right, just trying to get the most out of Daniel Jones. He did something no quarterback had ever done. Throw for 300 yards, two touchdown passes, and run for over 70 yards. It had never been done in playoff history. He did it. That's his first playoff game. Even Eli Manning wasn't great in his first playoff game.
No,
or his second
terrible.
Playoff game. It wasn't until his third playoff game in Tampa that he all of a sudden became Eli. Eazy-E. This guy right out of the box, Peter, so I don't know if the Giants can really afford to lose him.
No, I mean, listen, it was a hell of a show by Daniel Jones. There's no way around it. I was thinking about it afterwards because I was intrigued. Well, first of all, my social media, of course, has been full of people just yelling at me. You say Daniel Jones stinks, blah, blah, blah. How about that?
Which you never said.
Which I've never said at all. But it's fine. I'll play along. But I was taken a little bit by what Coach Dable said after the game.
Yeah, he wasn't effusive.
It was very interesting to me. Don, that screamed, this is a guy we're franchising. Because otherwise, why would you be so mod? His answer was, when they asked him, good. He was good. And they said, well, why are you being so...
Yeah, he was much more effusive about Kenny Galladay's block than he was about Daniel Jones.
No, he was good.
But you don't sense the game? You got to do that with Galladay because the fan base doesn't like him. So I'm wondering, is it a game that Dable plays? Like, listen, we know how good Jones is. All right? Fans know how good he is. I don't have to throw praise at the guy. He doesn't need it. Galladay needs it. because the fan base doesn't believe in him. So I'm going to accentuate the one good thing that he did because the fan base is not in love with
him. But what's the
downside? We're going to need him move forward. I think it's all a game that's being played.
But what's the downside of saying, oh, man, Daniel's terrific today? Thrilled with him. Thrilled
because
with
I guess he doesn't want to give the guy even more ammunition if they don't franchise him and try to sign him to a deal. Oh, look, the coach said he was phenomenal. Now he just.
But
yeah,
that's
good.
A Shane thing. You think coaches worry about that in the
working,
now?
Yeah, I think they're working hand in hand.
Not the coach.
Sure.
Then why? Then give me an answer. He was clearly more than good. At least very good.
I think it's a game that's played from a sense of let's not blow up the guy's ego here. There's still more games to be won here. Does it show more support to not overly praise him? Because, hey, we know how good he is. You guys could all be surprised about how good he is. We're not surprised. We expect him to do that. Because I can't imagine a coach. You know how these coaches are, Michael. They're so focused on the next play, the next game, the next moment. I don't think he's strategically talking about somebody that they're going to have to deal with during the offseason for a contract. All Dable's thinking about is the Philadelphia Eagles and trying to advance to the championship game. That's a game that's going to be played after the season is over as far as the contract's concerned. I think he's trying to just keep everybody even keeled for the guys that are working and then build up the ego of a guy that really hasn't done much this year in Galladay. So I think that's all just coach speak for just now, getting them ready for the next game.
Michael, did you see anything from Jones that changed your feelings on him? Like, obviously it was a good performance, but did he do anything that made you go, oh my gosh, this guy really could be the guy?
Well, I mean, I've always thought he was a decent quarterback. I guess we're just a product of timing here where he's going to get a lot of money. I don't know if I would give him $50 million a year, but I love the pass that he had to Hodgins. That was good. He kind of slid in the pocket and reset himself and threw a great pass. It was almost Manning to Manningham-esque.
Yeah, even something that's also very underrated, if you go back to 2007 in the championship game against the Packers, the Manning throw to Toomer where he toe-tapped and dove for the ball. It was that level, which kind of got lost in the game because the Giants ran to the line of scrimmage thinking that they were going to review it. So we only got one really good look on replay in the moment where that play could have been talked about a lot more than it was.
I think the thing that I was most taken by from this weekend is just how unbelievable it is that this is the same Giants team again. This is 2007. This is 2011. Mm-hmm. This is like, they may have the most consistent identity across decades of any football team in this league, of any team in sports. Like, they are really built the same way in a lot of ways. Sure, sometimes the running game's better. Sometimes you have, you know, a better receiver core, Manningham and Amani Toomer, and receivers that may be more known. But at the same time, it's built on great defense, disciplined, smart, hardworking offense, good coaching. They literally, there's nothing, this team on paper, the only star on offense, star, don't be offended, Daniel Jones lovers, the only star on offense is number 26. That is the only star. You have a lot of good players, including Daniel Jones, who might be a really good player. But you guys can't, well, this isn't the Kansas City Chiefs. This isn't a team doing it on talent. This is a team doing it on hard work, coaching, and smart football.
We're in the middle right now of the Big Blue Report, which is brought to you by Two by London, the engagement shop at London Jewelers. It's funny, if you look at the five Super Bowl appearances by the New York Giants, this team is reminiscent of four of them. 86 was a dominant team. You can't say they,
Brian,
you know, they surprised people. But every other team after that, I mean, were they a Super Bowl? I mean, this team was picked to be one of the worst teams in football. The Giants front office did not give Daniel Jones his fifth-year option, which is going to end up possibly costing them $32 million against the cap next year. So no one thought they're at the trade deadline, they didn't make any deals. Now you can say, well, maybe they thought they were good enough. No, they didn't think they were good enough to go far. But now you could actually make a compelling case. Is it impossible for them to beat the Eagles and then beat the winner of the 49ers and the
impossible.
Cowboys?
You know,
no.
Whether you think it's going to happen or not, it's obviously up for debate, and we'll debate
it. It's in play, though.
But it's not impossible. It's certainly not impossible by any stretch. Here's the difference. You know, because being a Giant fan, I'm intimate knowledge of all of those teams. The championship caliber teams, it was all led by defense. I mean, Phil Simms was an excellent quarterback, and he had an unbelievable Super Bowl. I still believe the highest completion percentage in the history of the Super Bowl back in Super Bowl 21. But it was about Lawrence Taylor, Harry Carson, George Martin. It was about their defense. Defense-led team. Bill Parcells, defensive guy. 1990, Jeff Hostetler was the backup quarterback. led them, but it was about their defense and running game and controlling the clock. Remember, Michael? It wasn't so much big plays by Hostetler. It was giving it to O.J. Anderson. He was the MVP of the Super Bowl. And even the two Eli championship, Michael, many people felt that maybe Eli shouldn't have won the MVP. It really should have been the defensive line of Tuck and Umanyora in that first Super Bowl with Michael Strahan. This Giants team, they haven't gotten there yet. But this might be, if they go on a run, guys, it's not going to be about the defense as much. It might be about Daniel Jones. That win in the playoffs, to me, on Sunday, as great as Barkley was in that touchdown, thought he was stopped at the 3-yard line. He powers his way into the end zone, had the big touchdown run, the long distance one earlier in the game. But the lasting memory was the play of the quarterback, the consistent play. 300 yards. They scored over 30 points, Michael. They went 44 games without scoring 30 before they finally did it against Indianapolis.
Yeah, they've done it two of the last three games, though.
And who is he throwing the ball to? This Daniel Jones, this was a huge win, and it's his first playoff game. Didn't look like a deer in the headlights at all. So say what you want about Minnesota, Fugazi team, I get it. But it's on the road, first playoff game, and he comes up with that kind of performance? Cha-ching.
Yeah, he's made himself a lot of money, and I hate to say this because they're colleagues of ours. All these so-called experts, I mean, they got it so wrong, and now they're apologizing for it, but they said it with certitude. This guy was not the guy. Well, you know what? He's showing everybody, I'll hold my beer. I am the guy because he has played very well. The only question is he playing well because of Dable? Or is Dable and Kafka looking smart because Daniel Jones was never coached the right way?
That can only go so far, though. I mean, to say, yes, I do think they're scheming well for Daniel Jones, but they can't throw the passes for him. The ball to Hodgins on the sideline, the touchdown as well, they can't throw the ball.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing that. I mean, he is a really solid QB.
And he did show signs. Remember the first chance he had to play against Tampa his rookie year?
He was great.
The offensive rookie of the week.
The week 17 game against the Commanders 2 years ago.
Right. So there were moments, there were flashes. Clearly coaching has a lot to do with it. But you're right, Peter. In that moment, he's the one making the throws. He's the one making the reads. So, yes, coaching is definitely a part of it. And the other team in town's probably, I think, should be focused more on who their next coach should be offense-wise than maybe who the next quarterback is. But still, it's taking credit away from the play of the individual and how well he did.
But I'll tell you this right now, and because I know I already see we're going to get the calls from people.
Yeah, people hate you.
They're so angry. I know. They don't remember that I was the one on the show who was most saying he's going to get re-signed and should be re-signed. But whatever. What I'm not going to do is, I heard Mike Tannenbaum earlier on one of the shows say that he could be a top six quarterback in the league. You guys, please slow down.
Well, could is the
no,
magic
no, no, but
word
now.
There.
He's talking about
well,
now.
No, but if he said he could be.
No, that was just what I said.
Oh, okay. He was referring to
a top 6 to 8 quarterback in this league. Last week, we had him at 17. He had a great weekend. Maybe you could have argued he's 11. Maybe you could argue he's 10. He top 8 in the league?
What we suffer through now is the bias of recency. What have you done? That's it.
He
had a great game in a big game, his first playoff game, and he showed. You know, he showed. He did exactly what he's supposed to do. So good for him. I'm happy for him. He seems like a nice guy. Everybody that I know that knows him says this guy has internalized everything. He hears everything. He never struck back at people. He just had a kind of a feel like, I'll show you.
But by the way, that's the piece. To me, the reason he will end up getting his money and the reason the Giants have to keep him is because any of the other options they'd be looking at a free agent, you don't know how they'll respond to New York. You do know how Daniel Jones will respond to New York. He has been just fine
now,
mentally.
Now, can I go a little bit, you know, off this path of the, you know, we're going to talk about the Giants and the Eagles a lot, but fans, front offices, were ready to give up on Daniel Jones. Doesn't that send up a little bit of a warning flare to everybody that's involved with the Jets that you can't give up on Zach Wilson that soon? 2 years into his NFL career, did you think Daniel Jones was going to be this guy, was going to get close to $50 million a year? There's no way you did. You can't just give up on Zach Wilson and say there's no way he could be good.
But Jones never looked completely lost. He wasn't great. He put the ball on the ground.
But there were times
but he
that
was
Zach
never
Wilson,
lost.
There were times that Zach Wilson has looked good, too.
True, but there are those moments. The reason I think fans freak out on Wilson is the throwing off his back foot, the awful interceptions, the inability to complete a screen. Those are the things that was never a Daniel Jones
thing. Yeah, but all the experts that I just derided for killing Daniel Jones, they're doing the same thing with Zach Wilson, because you want to have the hot take. You want to be the first one to say Zach Wilson will never be any good. We don't know all that right. yet. We just don't know.
We don't know, but you're going to have to do something. The Giants did something.
Yeah.
Yeah, we wouldn't have seen this if Joe Judge was given another year. We wouldn't True. Have seen this.
Hall That's of right. Famer Joe Judge.
All right. So are the Jets going to make the big splash? Are they going to go out? You know, right, Sean Payton is going on the rounds. Every time I turn on Fox, he's on television talking about all the interviews that he has coming up. I mean, are they going to put their money where their mouth is and support the quarterback? Because that's what the Giants did. All right. They went out and got a new offensive coordinator, a new head coach, offensive guys to make it work with Daniel Jones. And Shane had to be convinced of it. He didn't give him the fifth-year option. And they're kicking themselves for not giving it to him because they didn't see. Because one of those experts is Joe Shane.
Yep.
They didn't believe either, both in giving him the fifth-year option and going out and making a deal at the deadline, because they still felt they were in the first year of a rebuild, and now we're having conversations about them maybe making a run to the Super Bowl. That's how everybody got it wrong. But, Michael, the problems with Jones, the two biggest problems, fumbles and injury. Well, he stayed healthy, and he's not fumbling the football. Zach's just lost right now. He's just. I never looked at Daniel Jones as lost. I looked at the organization as lost. I looked at his inability to hold on to the football and stay healthy. But he holds on to the football. He stays healthy. The organization's got a clue, and now you've got people all clamoring to sign this guy to $40 million a year. So if I message to the Jets, get your next OC right. Otherwise, it's not going to matter.
Because I believe they are going to stay with Saleh. I don't think they're going to go after Peyton in a real way. The key really is, and that's the thing about this team, we give Dable ends up taking a ton of the credit. Could be Kafka. And he's going to get his interviews too. So that'll be interesting to see what happens with this team moving forward as well.
All right, that's the Big Blue Report, brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Pick or design the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget at any of their 7 area locations. There's a big day today. We're going to give away 3 Super Boxes.
Mm-hmm.
3. Mm. And you know about ESPN's Super Box Bonanza 2023. Over $35,000 in cash and prizes. Each box comes with additional pricing, including Yeti coolers, Knicks and Rangers suite tickets, JBL speakers, Fanatics gift cards, and much more. Plus, the big game payout, $500 in the first and third quarters, $1,000 at halftime, and the grand prize final score wins a trip to Resorts World Bimini in the Bahamas, plus $2,000 cash. So get your boxes by listening to DiPietro and Rothenberg, Barton Hahn, and The Michael Kay Show through February 3rd, the day after my birthday. It's all brought to you by Bartesian Premium Home Cocktail Makers, Sloman's, Resorts World Bimini in the Bahamas, P.C. Richard & Son, Grand Marnier, an award-winning blend of fine cognac and orange liqueur, and 98.7 ESPN New York. For full contest details, go to ESPNNewYork.com. Also, Giants playing the Eagles this weekend, and we're giving away Eagles tickets. How about that?
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, for the concert?
What? No, it's not the game?
No, same thing.
Yeah, well, no, it's for the concert.
Mm. Either way, excited.
It's weird. Nancy asked me over the weekend, is there a band that you love that you've never seen live? And that's the band.
Eagles.
Now, I won't see him with Glenn Frey, unfortunately.
But you'll see it with Glenn Frey's son.
True. It's not exactly going to be the same experience had I seen him, in 1975. I get that, but still, it's better than nothing. But I need to go to the show.
You've seen, ripped epiglottis in person?
That's not a band. It's
ripped epiglottis is a big metal band. Yeah.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, that's a big metal band, ripped epiglottis.
I don't think that's
nice. I would have heard that before. What's an epiglottis?
It's the thing that hangs in the back of your throat.
It's in the back of your throat.
Oh. Is that what they call it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure.
And if you rip it, it's a metal band. You know what I'm saying? Let's go to Dominic in Brooklyn. Dominic!
Hey, fellas.
What's
Don,
up?
Michael, how are we doing? How are the kids? Peter Rosenberg, I'm here for you. How dare you, sir? I think it must have been since the last week the Commanders played a meaningful game. And what was that again? When the Giants beat them out. You've been filling your diaper, sir.
Wow.
And last night with that old diaper, you had the audacity to post a video, an egregious video, all too close to your face, might I say, for anyone's life. And you say these things, these vile things. How could you, Peter? This is somebody who is a cheap Pete listener.
Oh, no.
Somebody
wow.
a great guy supporter, and I see you as one of those. And let me tell you, last night you looked like a great big baby.
What was the video?
You got to save that video.
Yeah.
Crab cake post. You got to save that video for your less than 1,000 member fan forum, if they even exist. You understand? That's a niche video, not public eye. That's for your fiance, your dog, and the few fans of the teams you dare like.
Wow.
So don't you do it again, Peter Rosenberg. And when I hang up this phone, please play the music and apologize. Thank you. Love you. Stay mage.
Stay mage. Dominic, that was a great call, and I love you.
What was
the video he's referring to, I won't back off on. I'll double down on it. I got a comment that really annoyed me, okay?
Uh-huh.
I posted a video of Daniel Jones on my Instagram. Right. You guys saw when he did the fake behind the back handoff.
Beautiful.
Beautiful, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, listen, I know I've said a lot of things. This is awesome, right? Mm-hmm. Just giving Daniel Jones props. Oh, no, I said more than that. I also said to Giants fans, I hate you. I'm jealous of you. But damn it if I don't respect you. Like, this team is just a good team.
Right? And it was your face on the video?
No, so that was the Daniel Jones video.
Right.
And that was just a caption. Then there was a comment on that video. And
right.
It was similar to a call we got last week by someone going, someone said, Peter, can't you just be happy for us after all we've been through as Giants
you
fans?
Don't like that.
So that's when I did the up close couch face shot, which Natalie hates when I do, by the way, as well. And I will not back off of this. Please do not open your mouth if you're a Giants fan and say, woe is me. I'm so glad we're finally having a good moment. I own socks that I've had since before the last time the Giants won a Super Bowl. It was a blink. Guys, when it comes to college basketball, I don't get upset when Maryland stinks. I'm like, we just won the championship. That was 2002. You guys won Super Bowls in 07. And 11. You played in one in 2000. Don, they won one in 90. They won one in 86. I respect your team. I respect the Mara family. I respect the way this team operates. Don't for one second act like there's been hardship. Are you aware there's another team that plays in this town called the New York Jets? Are you aware? Have you heard of the Buffalo Bills? The Minnesota Vikings? It's an endless run of teams, Don. They've never sniffed a thing. You guys might have to own this, that you're one of the best football teams in the NFL, consistently. And the fact, it's been since 2016, we played a playoff game.
But they haven't won a playoff game since the Super Bowl.
I understand that, Michael, I don't even know what winning a playoff game means. I don't even know what those words mean. They're back in the mix again. They could go to the Super Bowl this year. If they somehow win on Saturday, guys, we're going to be talking about, are the Giants going to the Super Bowl? Just accept that your team is great. Don't pretend that you're an underdog. It's a great story this year. The expectations were low. But let's just face it, Don. You root for a team that is consistently really good.
What do Giant fans have in common? A lot of them are Yankee fans. So it's the same thing where there's a certain level of expectations. It has been a rough decade of one playoff appearance and no playoff wins.
I spit decades.
But you're right. But take a look around. Take a look at the team in your own market. You just mentioned two of them, the Buffalo Bills and the Minnesota Vikings. They've had some success, but no Super Bowl championships, all right? When was their last Super Bowl appearance for either team? I mean, even the Bills, those four straight Super Bowl losses.
Well, 30 years ago.
30 years ago.
Correct.
You know, the Vikings' last Super Bowl appearance, Bud Grant was the coach. We're just looking, even the Green Bay Packers, who they won one championship with Aaron Rodgers. You know how many 13-1, 15-1 seasons they had? They couldn't even get out of the second round. So I'm with you. It was a tough. It was a tough decade.
But just understand,
relatively speaking.
But
at least acknowledge that.
Acknowledge it. And a tough decade. I'm just explaining to you guys. A decade's nothing. Nothing.
Especially when you get to our age.
Oh,
there's some 20 somethings out there where decades half their life. So I get it. Not everybody's decades equal.
The then Redskins won when I was 8. And when I was 12, I was like, oh, my God, right. This is life. Every 4 years, you win a championship. Amazing. And that was the last one.
You know,
when
for
I
me,
was 12.
For me and Michael, a decade. You know what I was doing a decade ago? I was sitting to the right of Michael Kay doing a show.
But you looked repug.
He looks so much better
now. I'm a big boy.
All right, so we got to go over the entire weekend because I love people. People love, like, oh, they took the extra day off yesterday. What did you want us to do like do the show in between Ed Cohen doing play-by-play? There was a Knick game on that went to overtime. So what were we supposed to do?
So what they wanted, I was supposed to do the Don show because we figured there'd be like a 30-minute gap between Knicks and Rangers.
It happens to us
so
all
what was
the
I supposed
time
to do? Like when Randall was going for the dunk, should he have bumped into me with a microphone and headset trying to interrupt him and do a show?
People are
the Knicks are on.
They're hateful. They took the extra day off. They couldn't work. We couldn't work because there was something on our air. We're contractually committed to doing the Knicks game.
For the record, there are a lot of people out there who work 9-to-5s who, guess what? They didn't work yesterday either, and they wouldn't have heard the show, and they're happy to hear our Giants recap today.
But if there were, but not us. If there was no Knicks, we'd be on the air.
Yes.
Of course.
All right, so this
I
was not
wanna
us
be, but
taking
we
the three-day weekend. As
I would
have. Believe me, the last thing I wanted was to not be on the air after my team had a huge playoff win.
I took the days off.
For the first time, Peter. Since February 5th, 2012. First playoff win since the Super Bowl.
Yeah. So tough.
You know, so I wanted to be on the air for that.
Of course you did.
But unfortunately, the Knicks got in the way.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
He had a good year, despite what people want to say. Completed the most passes of any NFL quarterback in history. Threw the most passes of any NFL quarterback in history. Had about 4,600 yards. He was Tom Brady. But now, all of a sudden, he's old because he was terrible. They don't have a running game. They don't have a good offensive line. And he made some awful passes. One of the worst passes I've ever seen him throw was the interception when it was 6-0. I still think he's going to come back because... I mean, you do want to leave a pretty good impression. He could have left a perfect impression by leaving after the Bucs won the Super Bowl, but I still think he has something left. You put him on a good team, Don and Peter, I think that he could still be a really, really good quarterback.
Yeah, I don't think Tampa's the destination.
No.
I mean, last night was not what you want.
You know.
No.
First of all, he threw 66 passes, okay? The record's 70. He threw 66 passes last night.
Well, that's out of necessity. They were down.
No, right? I know. Well... A, down. B, had nothing else. And that's just what they've done. That's been their... He set the all-time record for attempts this season, period.
Right.
Because that's all they've had. But he didn't exactly cover himself in glory from the terrible performance to the slide tackle. The slide tackle video is not a good look.
He's 45 and doesn't want to get hit.
No. Do you see the slide tackle that he attempted?
Yeah.
But just lay out then. You don't do that. That should get you a red card. Don, that was a soccer penalty. That wasn't even something you can do in this sport.
But to Michael's point, there's something still there.
I agree.
But the question is where? You know, you see rumors, the Jets. Is he going to come to the Jets? I agree, they have weapons, but their offensive line needs to be reconstructed. Would he like the coaching? Who are you going to hire? San Francisco, go home. I guess that kind of makes sense. But, you know, good luck doing that if the 49ers win the Super Bowl. You know, why would they be looking for a quarterback if Purdy's got that kind of future? Why would they even want to dance in that area?
They don't need it. It's not worth the money.
I think he's going to play, but we'll see. I mean, he's going to drag it out. And he also has a great parachute. I mean, he has a $375 million 10-year deal. He's going to get paid more from Fox per year than he's going to get anywhere in the NFL.
Isn't that wild?
It's amazing.
And we don't even know if he's good at it.
No, he could be awful. But I think he's going to be good because he's good at everything.
I think he'll be pretty good at it, too. When I hear clips of his radio show, I always think he sounds pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Peter and I pretty much have given up on the NFL after the Chargers lost.
Well, Don, how do you feel? Michael and I believe that game should just count as a win for us. I mean, that doesn't
make
sense.
I was riding high. I had the first win. I had the 49ers, picked it beautifully. Then I was going to have my first 5 points and just wait for the Bengals, but I couldn't believe it.
And from my perspective, just you know, so game one, 49ers, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready to root against Michael. That's my only interest is in Michael losing, right? And early on in that game, it absolutely looked like San Francisco was not going to cover.
Right.
They might win the game,
right,
but it was going to be very close. It's a rout. They end up not even being a thought. It's right. a blowout in the second half.
Right.
So I'm already down. Now Michael's already got three. I look up at halftime. I didn't watch the first half of the Chargers game. I was out with Natalie doing whatever. I go look, and I'm like,
and that was a two-point play for you.
Three-point. Chargers, oh, yeah. My three-point play.
It was two for me, yeah.
So I go 27-0. No one's picking up anything on me this weekend. Once I get that, I already know the weekend's basically safe for me.
Right.
It's 27-0.
Right.
And you know what the killer was that isn't being talked about enough? Late in the second half, when Jacksonville got with it a score, the ball went back to the Chargers. The Chargers moved right down the field, came up short, kicked a chip shot field goal, and missed it.
Mm-hmm.
That ended up being the game.
Right.
That was it. That was an inexcusable loss.
They never ran the ball with a big lead. They kept throwing because they have no running game.
Right. Oh, my God.
They just fired their offensive coordinator, so that like almost takes Staley off the hook. And, you know, Staley's considered – Rex Ryan destroyed him yesterday. Destroyed him.
Well, how could
he? He said he's a terrible – he says he tries to be too cute. He said cute coaches don't win Super Bowls.
And, Adon, I know I'm not bright, but can you explain to me why at the end of a game, in a playoff game, your season's going to end. Would you keep the timeout in your pocket as the clock runs down to 5 seconds for them to kick the game? They let it run down to 3 seconds. They didn't even call the timeout, okay? Then you use your timeout to try to freeze the kicker? Why didn't you call it 8 seconds earlier? Maybe try to get a kickoff.
There are a lot of very strange timeout usage over the weekend.
They don't get timeouts, head coaches.
It's starting to creep into the NFL. This analytical BS where they have no feel for the moment. You know, I'll give you a quick example off the sport. John Tortorella got a lot of flack and got a lot of attention. He's taken the iPads off the bench. He doesn't want the players looking at it. He wants the players to watch the game, get a feel, the momentum of the game. And then if you want to break down film after the game, go ahead. But not in real time. But you see, you watch a hockey game, they're all looking at their tablets instead of watching because they want to see the play they had before. And it's coming from a place of trying to learn. But there's a game going on. And these coaches, they've got they're all looking at their play sheets. It's gotten so analytical and so caught up in the plays. Instead of just reading the room sometimes, I feel like some of these coaches have no feel for what's going on in the game.
Like, in the second half of that Charger game, you would think, Michael, at some point, in spite of the fact that you don't have a great running game.
Mm-hmm.
Just to burn time, even if it's if it's three and a punt.
Right.
Let's just get a few minutes off the clock.
A minute 20 right there.
Like,
More.
Yeah, more. Yeah. Like, it makes no sense. And then also, we do have to mention Al Michaels' call at the end of that game.
Well,
that was pretty rough.
Before we get to that, I have to ask you the question that I was actually going to put on Twitter, but Twitter now has turned me even further away. I mean, everybody in our business thinks that every single one of their stupid little thoughts have to be broadcast out to the world. Every single one.
You know that. You're used to that by now. Come on.
Yeah. I never do that. My thought was, why is the guy in the Miller Lite commercial so arrogant and nasty about the guy buying Michelob Ultra?
What does he care?
What does he care? What's in it for him?
But you don't need to tweet that.
But that was just like a muse of
mine.
Oh,
you did tweet that?
I did tweet it.
Oh, okay.
Like, oh, this is a terrible call. Shut up. Nobody cares what you think. Anyway, were you both had the Cowboys yesterday. Don for a three, you for one. Were you rooting for the Buccaneers?
Yes.
Because you had to. Because right now, Don's breathing down your throat.
If yesterday, it's so funny. I was rooting to go 0-3. I was rooting to look like a total hack.
Right.
And Don, it gave Don an extra 2 points. It put Don in real striking distance.
Right now, here's the spread.
Ugh.
Peter's in first place, 31-25-1 with 64.5 points, 1-2 this week. Don's now at 500, 27-27-3.
I hate this.
He has 59.5 points.
Wait, I'm what, 65.5?
64.5.
This is wrong for me. They have me at 26-29-2, 53 points. I am not 6.5 points away.
You are 3.5.
Right.
You have 56.
Anthony, what are you doing, man? Why are you doing this to me?
Oh, no.
I'm not 6.5 points behind Don.
No, that would be scary if that was the case.
No, so that was an error. So
yeah,
big error.
You're
how
far 56.
I'm 3.5 behind Don.
Three and a half.
I'll tell you where you are. You're in the dunk tank.
I know.
But I got to watch Don.
So I was so upset with the way the games were going, and Charlie goes, what's the big deal? Dunk tanks are fun. I said, son,
I agree with him.
K's don't like to be losers.
No, that's right. You should have told him that we just don't have any guts as a show, and our punishments have to be, you know, kindergartenish. Oh, we're going to get wet we're going to get wet during the summer.
I was thinking about
I don't want to lose.
Don wrote to the powers that be at ESPN and asked if maybe we could each be shot with a real gun. That's what he would like. Listen, a gun to the head.
Can we just agree that we just have no guts?
No.
No, that's exactly what it is.
No, a dunk tank is...
tank at the beach pad. You want to have a dunk tank outside during a holiday party. Now we're talking.
By the way, what if it's randomly, like, you know, not 100 degrees at the beach bash? What if it's like...
I'm going to get wet at the beach. That's my punishment. This is public. We've ruined the picks. We've ruined it. I blame Michael more than anything.
You know what? Let's end the pick segment right here.
You know what? You know what? You're right, Don. We should stop now. I'll take the win.
We could have so much fun if we just had an ounce of cubes. Baby cubes.
Give us your fantasy, a baby cube one.
Also, can I tell you one thing, getting back to games for a second? Bosa should be fined so much money by the Chargers. What he did was inexcusable. Whether or not they were bad calls or not, he really hurt his team. That was unbelievable what he did.
He threw
his helmet. Argued with the official, and there's some conjecture about what he actually said to the guy.
No, and by the way, when you think about it, much like the missed field goal, that cost them the game.
Absolutely,
they were going to kick the PAT to cut it to 3, right?
Right.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Instead, they got two at the 2-yard line.
Right.
Went for 2.
That's why they lose the game
and lose the game by right.
And it was trash what he did. Trash.
I listen.
I mean, everybody rips every other player. Let's rip Bosa. That was disgraceful what he did.
I got news for you. The Bosa family, incredible athletes. Mensa, they are not.
Wow, taking a shot at there.
I'm sorry. That was moronic.
It was.
Moronic.
I'm not going to use Mensa because I'm a part of Mensa, but...
So you should appreciate that they're not Mensa members.
Mensa members don't comment
mention
on
other Mensa. Yeah, okay. Sure.
You're a Mensa member?
Of course. I'm a genius.
Come on.
And also performative.
Is there a card or some way that you can prove this?
They put a chip in your brain.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Well, let's take some phone calls. How about
Shall
that?
Shall we? More hatred of me?
Let's go to Bill in Long Island. Billy, what's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Love your show.
You've been very, very welcome to come on. What's up, Bill?
Oh, thank you. So, Peter, I have to take issue as a longtime Giant fan, and I'm sure Donald backed me up on this, on your statement that the Giants have been consistently great over the decades. If anything, it's more feast or famine.
I see what you're saying, feast or famine, from a year-to-year standpoint. But do you see how when you really look at the big picture – to be championship competitive every 8 years and have 4 Super Bowls since 1986 really does feel like pretty damn good and consistent?
Yes, as a Redskins fan, I can understand where you're coming from.
Well, that's the point he was making, though.
That's the whole
Seriously,
point.
Is that, yeah, it's not to the level of some teams, but it's certainly much better than a lot of other teams. Ask a Jet fan, would they trade with the Giants? In a second, they would.
Well, how many teams out there have been better than the Giants in the last 30 years? The Patriots? I'll wait.
Yeah, because I mentioned the Green Bay Packers. You look at the Green Bay Packers, good every year, right? They missed the playoffs this year, but winning the division every year between 10 and 15 wins. One Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers.
And one with Favre.
And one with Favre.
That's it. 2 since the Giants have gotten 4.
And 3, I think, was the Don Majkowski.
Lynn Dickey. You got to go.
Lynn Dickey. I'm sorry.
So that's my question. The Cowboys? Did the Cowboys have 4 since 1986?
Well, they had 3.
That's it? So I ask you, who's been better in the last 40 years?
But I understand what the caller is saying. It's feast or famine.
But for most teams, it's famine.
So you can say the Yankees have 27 world championships, but they haven't won one since 2009.
And it's kind of the same fan base complaining about the same thing. But I'll ask the question. Would you rather trade with the Green Bay Packers and have just the one Super Bowl over the last 20 years but go to the playoffs, win a lot more games, have a lot more Hall of Fame players and all that? Or would you rather have what the Giants have is, yeah, it's feast or famine, but boy, the feast is amazing. It's a huge spread. Three turkeys, one in the middle of the table and two on either side. Stuffing you dream about. Out of the faucet comes wine.
Now, and by the way, and the part that I added to it, which I think was brilliant, but I'll never get credit for it, is that not only are they consistently good, there's a consistent identity to what they are as a football team.
Yeah, but what they're saying, like...
I get it. Some years they're not good.
But Yankee fans, right? They're saying we haven't won a championship since 2009. But they're always competing for a championship every single year. Every single year they're competing for a championship. The Giants have been drop-dead terrible for nine of the last 10 years.
But now what you...
They've made the playoffs.
It's a negative. There's no question. And they've gotten it dead wrong. And let's face it, over the last 5 years especially, they've been an embarrassment. With the coaches that they've hired, the way that they've whiffed, the way that they've conducted themselves, it's been an embarrassment. But there have been some franchises that have gone decades that have been just as embarrassing.
Ask me which years, in those last 10 years, guys, that the Giants have made the playoffs once. Ask me which years Washington made the playoffs.
Which years did they make the playoffs?
I don't remember. It didn't matter. They lost. They lost to Green Bay 1 year. They lost to Tampa two years ago. No one cares. You act like it's so much better to make the playoffs and lose immediately.
Here's the drop the mic quote from me. All right?
Go ahead.
You're right. It's been an embarrassment. It's feast or famine. But you can legitimately, as a Giant fan, going back to when probably Ray Perkins, that's when the thing started to turn around, that you can honestly say to yourself, as bad as it's been, as embarrassing as it's been, the Giants will eventually get it right.
Correct.
Can the Jets say that? Can
No.
the Lions say that?
No.
Can the Browns say that?
No.
Can a Viking fan say
No.
that? Can even a Bills fan say that? Can you No. say that? Well, eventually, they'll get it right. It'll stink for a while. They'll whiff. They'll go 0-for-3 with three strikeouts. But eventually, they'll make contact and it'll hit a home run.
So,
not every organization
can
say
again,
that.
I ask the question. Over the last 40 years... besides the New England Patriots, who is the team that you can tell me you absolutely would rather be than the Giants? That's what I'll leave it to. There are a couple you could throw out there that might be interesting and compelling, but I'm telling you, that's very tough to come by.
Ravens are a lot like
Ravens
the
are
Giants
very good.
In the sense that they've only had the two Super Bowls.
Well, and the Ravens are even more consistent.
More
usually
consistent.
Year to year, they're always in the playoffs. So they're very – and the Steelers
Speaking of the
too.
Ravens, all right, Harbaugh, really? How were you raised? By Wolves? The way he treated Melissa Stark during the halftime interview, like a jerk, like an absolute ass.
I didn't hear it. Please tell me what he said.
Just like he was snapping at her. She didn't ask any really terrible questions.
I don't
questions.
Get why. Listen, he's been around a long time. You know that these people have a job to do.
Of
Even
course,
going back to
you have
Popovich,
to agree to do it.
I get it that it stinks. I get you don't want to do it.
I gotta
but
see it.
Don't blame the interviewer. They're just doing their
job.
Have
it. We have it on the page.
Oh.
All right, so here he is, John Harbaugh, halftime interview, NBC.
And so what will you tell your guys defensively?
We'll be fine. Our guys will be fine. It's going to be a hard-fought game out here. We're going to play a good game.
And Tyler Huntley with that interception, you said we might see Anthony Brown. What will that take?
We'll just see how the game goes, okay? Thanks.
Thanks, John.
And gave her a real nasty look and then was obviously saying something about the question when he walked off mic. Come on, man. He's got a job to do. And she's really good at it, too. Show
Very
her some
good.
Respect.
She's been around for a long time.
Unbelievable. And also, why would a coach want to be portrayed that way? He knows the cameras are rolling. Do you want to be an ass?
Well, that has to be the answer because that's the only way it's going to come across. Because she did not ask any non-legitimate questions or illegitimate questions, right? Every single – she's doing her job. So you know you're going to come across as a nozzle.
Right.
Nobody wants to do it. No coaches want to do it.
The coaches should get together and go, you know, we're not doing these interviews. They're stupid interviews anyway. Why should they even agree to do them? Say, hey, find me. I don't want to do it. But if you're going to do it, then give a thoughtful answer. Give a thoughtful answer. Instead, you snap on a legendary broadcaster. For what? She's legendary as a sideline reporter.
Well, there it is. The NFL announces nominees for the 2022 Pepsi Zero Sugar NFL Rookie of the Year.
It's Melissa Stark.
The first one, Sauce Gardner. The fifth one, Garrett Wilson. Both sitting right there, Don.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.